From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Luke Burbank, Tom Beaudet, and Roxanne Roberts. And here again is your host at the Des Moines Civic Center, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. In just a minute, Bill heads over to the Iowa State Fair and orders deep-fried rhyme on a stick in our Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. But right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Roxanne, by 2020, China will have an estimated 30 million bachelors, far more than the number of single women. So one economist has come up with a perfect solution for this problem. What is it?
Robots?
No. She said curiously, no. No, it's a very simple solution. It'll have all kinds of benefits for the men and for the women. It will be double the people to complain about how you stack the dishwasher.
That women marry two men.
Yes, two men for every woman. That's the idea. Two men will share the same women. One woman and two men. Not what you want to hear when your girlfriend finally agrees to a threesome, and also a policy proposed by a Chinese economist who maybe just misunderstood what his wife meant when she said, "I want another husband."
There's also a chance that for this Chinese economist, even half a woman would be an improvement.
Yeah.
So he's okay with that math.
Yeah, it's true. What do you think, Roxanne, speaking as our woman on the panel, what do you think this could be a good deal? Would there be any advantage to the men? To the woman, I mean,
well,
to have two husbands?
Well, it depends what skill set each husband had. You just kind of start from there. Like maybe one's handy and another one is more sensitive.
Maybe the other one likes to dress up for Halloween. Or
Well, go to chick movies.
I'm just naming all the things that my wife would get another husband to do.
But I'm trying to. when it comes right down to it, I'm not sure that I'd want to actually. Well, I'm not sure I want to live with one husband, so I'm not sure that I'm pretty sure I wouldn't want to live with two.
I understand. And we were trying to figure, I mean, for the men, there would be an advantage because, you know, men love to complain. You may not know this, women, but men love to complain, get together, and complain about their wives. And so now there's just a great person to do it with because you can stay at home. You don't have to go to the bar. You'd be like, oh, she's the worst. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Phil? And he's like, I know exactly what you're talking about. Luke, according to one of Australia's leading speech experts, that country's distinctive accent is a mixture of Aboriginal, English, Irish, German, and what?
Is it a dingo?
Not a dingo.
Right? Can I get a hint?
Yeah, what is Foster's Australian for?
It's a beer related?
Yes. It's a combination of English, Aboriginal, Irish, and drunken slurring. Australian scholar Dean Frankel says, quote, our forefathers regularly got drunk together, and through their frequent interactions, unknowingly added an alcoholic slur to our national speech patterns, unquote. You know, it's obvious when you think about it. Say, you call that a knife? This is a knife. Then, have 20 beers. And then you say, you call that a knife? This is a knife. And then... Ah, shrimp on the barbie. And then you unzip your pants and are thrown out of the bar again.
Well, that explains why I haven't been able to do an Australian accent since I stopped drinking.
Yeah.